Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom at voicesofmontana.com. We started doing a handful of segments here post-session segments with some legislators to get their perspectives of meeting the challenges and the needs here of the people of Montana. I do recall when I think about the public, a couple of instructors at a higher education level talking about how fickle the public can be. And I suppose we have to own that as well. But there are challenges and needs that we have, and our government joins together to meet those. So we're going to be shooting the breeze about a lot of stuff. So if I say shooting the session breeze, don't mistake that. That's what we're just doing, shooting the breeze. And today, it's going to be State Senator Greg Hertz, longtime conservative Republican from the Polson area. A lot of stuff top of mind will be the Public Law 280 and how we deal now with law enforcement on the Flathead Indian Reservation. Not ahead today. Get right to State Senator Greg Hertz, the Senate District 7 now, Polson area, but he's just a veteran of the House, served, I think it was 2019, Speaker of the House. I counted him up seven sessions now with 2025, a business owner in the Polson area, and Senator Greg Hertz joining us. How you doing, Greg?
Oh, it's great, Tom. It's nice to be home.
Yeah.
sitting at home in my office right now, looking out over Flathead Lake and the Mission Mountains. And as you talked about moisture, of course, we're here eagerly waiting to make sure Flathead Lake gets the full pool again. We're about 2 feet from there right now. So it's another beautiful day up here in Mission Valley and Flathead Lake.
Yeah, I lived in Missoula for quite some time and visited up there frequently. It is a real special place in Montana. It has a unique, though, issue there when it came to law enforcement, you know. I want to talk about a ton of things here, too. But this is one where you brought a bill, and it wasn't easy to get this bill across. It took, I would say, a decade or so, didn't it, to really get people coming together and inching closer to, but we'll have to back up and really understand what you were dealing with, Public Law 280. But congratulations on this, though.
Yeah, no, it was, we finally got it done this session, and it has, and I've been working on this since 2015 with other legislators from the area. But back in the early 60s, Public Law 280 was basically the federal government went around to different reservations across the country and, you know, made the offer that, hey, look, the state and the tribe, you can enter into an agreement where the state, you know, will take over jurisdiction of felonies and the federal government will walk away from that. And because on reservations that did not elect that, it's the DIA and the FBI and federal jurisdiction is on those reservations. And it's not working very well. It works very well right here on the Flathead Reservation, but over the decades, funding has become a major issue. And that's what we've been working at the legislature because, quite frankly, the way the law reads, the state of Montana hereby assumes jurisdiction over felonies on the Flathead Reservation. It doesn't say anything about Lake County, although the county volunteered and stepped up and absorbed the majority of all those costs.
Well, and that was the issue. Like you said, the expenses just kept piling up. And I think one of the things to talk about as we try to understand this is that if Lake County rescinded its approval of that Public Law 280, these expenses would naturally fall to the state. I think a court sees it that way, but it took some time to actually get to that understanding too, right?
It did. The district court judge up in the Flathead came to that conclusion. And the county was trying to get reimbursement for previous costs. And in the state statute, it said, no, Lake County, you have the authority to withdraw. And since you did not withdraw, you voluntarily paid for all these expenses, so you're responsible for them. So at that point in time, then the county filed a withdrawal notice and proceeded with that. And then we finally ended up with this legislation. Because you're right, the county can withdraw, but the state has to get permission from the BIA and the CSKT and the Department of Interior. That could take years, if not decades. And at that point in time, then the state has to come in. They have to have their own law enforcement, which they don't have. They would need jail facilities in Lake County, which they don't have. So most likely they could enter into and cost $100 million for the state of Montana to do enforcement here on the reservation, where right now it's running about $5 million for the tribe and $5 million for the state. And just looking at a little bit of resources. And the tribe has really stepped up and wanting to assume more of these federal felonies, and that's what this legislation was all about, was getting the tribe more involved and covering the cost of felonies committed by tribal members on the Flathead Indian Reservation.
And talk about how it works, because there's incentive in here, and it's actually a pretty large incentive to draw these parties together, the state, the county, and the tribes, to establish more of a working agreement, because there's still more work to be done.
There is. And so what the legislation has done, it provided $6 million over the next 2 years, which will be split between the county and the tribe, as long as they enter into a memorandum of understanding with those two parties and the state, basically saying, here's how we're going to provide shifting these felonies over to the tribe. And what the county will have to retain some of the highest level felonies, because the tribe just won't have the ability to prosecute those. The tribe already did retrocession on misdemeanors back in the 90s. So they do all the misdemeanors for tribal members, but the felonies are always right here at the state, with Lake County covering the cost of those. And the tribe really wants to take over, and they have. They've done a lot of felonies here lately in the last couple of years, mainly drug-related issues, getting tribal members into rehabilitation, and that's what they need to do. But right now, the tribe needs to expand their jail facilities, hire more prosecutors and judges, and that's what some of the money will help with going forward here.
And I know that there's a I want to talk about a framework for perhaps future cost-sharing, but let's go back one more time and talk about why this was done. I mean, what was insufficient? Did the tribe feel, and I believe that's the case, the tribe felt that BIA and other federal agencies were they insufficient in tribal law enforcement matters, do you think, Senator?
Well, and that's the case. And you can go to any reservation across Montana or the country, and they'll tell you federal government's not doing their job, whether it's with law enforcement or healthcare, according to treaty rights. But the Flathead Reservation is really unique. Only a third of the population on the reservation are tribal members. Two-thirds are non-tribal members, because this reservation was opened up to homesteading in the 1920s and 30s. And so that's different. Where you go on most reservations in Montana, it's more like an 80-20 split, 80% tribal members and even up to 90. And so that was the jurisdictional issue, is how do you manage this when the vast majority of people living on the reservation are non-tribal? And fortunately, back then in the days, we had Gene Turnage, who was a legislator and former justice of the Montana Supreme Court. I knew Gene very well. I went to grade school with his son, Lloyd. And Gene had that vision, along with some county commissioners, hey, we need to do something different here. The federal government's offering this public law 280, which many reservations across the country took advantage of. And it looked like a perfect fit for the Flathead Indian Reservation to make sure that we had good law enforcement for both tribal and non-tribal members.
I know there was some opposition, and before we get to a framework for going forward, let's address that, because there were members of the party and of the House itself, colleagues, who said, why should taxpayers in 55 counties pay for law enforcement in one county?
You're right, and that took some education. When we first started this back in 15 and 17, some of the bills we couldn't even get to the floor. Huh. And then as we progressed and the lawsuits, progressed through the courts, I think then people realized, wow, the state of Montana is the one who signed these agreements, and they're the ones who are really responsible. And if we don't do this, then it's going to cost a lot more money to the state taxpayers. And that's where I think a lot of legislators got on board from both sides of the aisle. But there were people who voted against this bill still. They didn't like it. They didn't think Lake County, that the state should come in and help out at all. But I think they just didn't look at the vision going forward. I always look at solving problems long term. And some legislators are just short-term windows, you know, two-year sessions. And unfortunately, but we got her done this time with the help of the governor's office, too. I mean, they vetoed the bill in 2023 that we had, very similar bill. But they stepped up and this time and said, okay, we need to get this taken care of, and worked with the lieutenant governor, and she really helped out getting this process accomplished.
Yeah, that made all the difference, you know, getting more people on board here. But like you said, all that education that led up to this. So as I understand it then, there's an initial distribution, and then the remaining $5.5 million, that's a cut. You talked about those costs that handles a lot of costs for a couple of years. They're supposed to work toward a cost sharing agreement. Is there a framework for that?
They're working on that right now, the tribe and the county and the state. And basically what will happen is, you know, the vision is there'll be more felonies shifted over to the tribe, and they will increase with this money and some federal dollars their facilities so they can handle more prosecutions on most felonies. And then the county will continue to, I mean, if you've got, you know, murders or very high profile cases, then the county will take care of that. And as always, the attorney general's office, when you have high profile felonies, they provide support too. The county will still help house the prisoners, which is, you know, very expensive to house prisoners. And so it's just a good working relationship. They've always had a great relationship between tribal law enforcement and non-tribal law enforcement. We have drug task force here. They work very well together. You know, you get a stop, you get stopped in Lake County. First thing they need to figure out, are you tribal or non-tribal? And then the particular law enforcement shows up if it wasn't the right one who pulled you over, and they wait for someone to take over the jurisdiction of the particular issue.
Yeah, that is unique. And there was some acrimony over all of this. But like you said, mostly it was the county and the state, I think, as well. Are those? We'll be talking plenty of politics here in the next segment, too. We talk about the session a little bit. But you know, what's the mood of that now? Just moving forward and putting that behind folks?
Yeah, it's always been, when you look at the, you know, differences in relationships between the county, the tribe, and the state, typically the tribe likes to work with the federal government. That's their relationship with their treaties. But, you know, we've had good working relationships with the tribe here in Lake County, and at times it's broken down. But this particular session, I think we did a really good job on getting things done. Had a lot of meetings, and it was difficult, but you know, they showed up, the tribe and the county officials, and we got it done. And I think our relationships right now are doing fairly well here on the Flathead Reservation.
That's good to hear. And you're one who could attest to this as well, with seven sessions now under your belt. But the amount of legislation that takes time, session after session, to accomplish. I guess that's just part of the process, good or bad, but, you know, we do have to learn along the way, don't we?
Yeah, you do, and that's why bills get introduced session after session. And I always tell legislators, hey, look, you lost this time, but just keep coming back. I mean, I've come back with a lot of food issue bills, food freedom bills, raw milk. Took us a lot of time to get that legalized. Housing bills, tax bills. I'm, you know, working on other bills, THC potency bills that, you know, were a failure this time, hospital and insurance costs, which I've worked on a lot. A lot of those have failed, but I'm educating people more along the way, and they start saying, wow, I understand this now.
Yeah.
And so it really helps out.
Yeah, and this is why I like what we get to do here is shoot the session breeze when you talk about those bills that maybe we don't hear an awful lot about. Of course, there was a lot of politics involved in the Senate in this last session. Still think there was a lot of good work done through that, though. Shooting the session breeze with State Senator Greg Hertz, a Republican out of Senate District 7. Seven sessions under his belt, became a member of the House in 2013 and served, through four sessions there, and then also in the Senate in 2021. member of the leadership as well for the Republican Party. And as we just shoot the session breeze, Senator, thanks for again coming on. I appreciate that. I have spent some time watching the session, so I've appreciated your approach. I mean, I think some would I would characterize you as a defender of you know, wise spending, the budget, so to speak. I think the word common sense comes out of your mouth a lot, whether it's a lack of or a need or this is making sense here. But also the process and the body. I think you're a staunch defender of the citizen legislature as well. And with that, I don't want to put you or paint you into any corner. So I want to have you describe yourself in that regard. But that's to say, to talk about what happened in the Senate in this last session, where there were 9 GOP members, colleagues in your party, that voted consistently with the 18 Democrats and created really a Democratic coalition that, even though they don't want to admit it, that really took control of the Senate.
Well, they did, Tom. And I always go back, and a lot of people always state the rule 51-26-1, which means you need 51 House members to pass the bill, 26 senators, and you need one governor to sign it, right?
Yeah.
So in the Senate, if you've got 26 people in the Senate, you can control the Senate. I don't agree with the way they did it, amending the rules on day one, but I don't blame them for doing it. But there are other ways within our rules where you can rearrange committee makeup, and you just stand up, you give 1 day notification, and you say, we don't agree with this committee makeup. We want to change it. We're giving 1 day notification, and we're going to move these people around. What that does, it gives you time to settle down. Then you go back to the leadership office and say, hey, look, guys, we don't like what you did here. You even start before them, what they never did. And then you get things done behind the scenes, and things don't blow up on the floor, and people get upset. And unfortunately, that's where we wound it up going down to. And then, the legislature is all about relationships. I've never attached myself to a particular faction of the Republican Party. I'm just a Republican. Mm-hmm. And so I work with everyone, and I've always tried to do that. And I think that's why I've been successful. And I work with a lot of Democrats, too. But just, relationships are so important in the legislature to get things done. And when you start fracturing those relationships, it haunts you for several sessions. And we will be haunted what happened in the Montana Senate even to the next session. Because the same thing happened in 2015 and 17 when I was over there in the House and Austin Knutson was the speaker. I was pro tem in 17. It took us from 15, the relationships that were broken down, all the way to almost 2021 when Wiley Gault became the Speaker of the House. Then things had started to heal up. But this will take some time to heal up as we progress. And relationships were stretched in the Senate in this past session.
And how did that there's a lot to talk here, but let me not a lot to talk about here, but let me ask this. How did that impact the outcome of the Senate? I know there were some things that people felt were baked in, and the lack of discussion over some of those issues as well. How would you characterize how that had an impact on day 90 or day 85, so to speak?
Well, it had an impact on, a couple of big topics. First, number one, the budget. There were things put in the budget that would have never gotten put in there, and it kind of inflated our budget. A lot of people want to say our budget was balanced. Well, theoretically, I guess it was balanced when you use the savings account and revenues to cover expenditures. But even Representative Jones said in 28 and 29, we are out of structural balance. We're going to be spending more than we're taking in, but the 27 legislature will have to deal with that. That's not a very good plan going forward when you got to come back in and start cutting things because this session we overspent. And the governor he started vetoing bills right away. In fact, one of my bills, was one of the first bills that got vetoed, was putting $10 million of our surplus into the noxious weed trust. Weeds are terrible across the state, particularly in Western Montana, and we needed more resources. And that was one of the first things, and he stated, the legislature overspent. And so that's going to create problems. The other big problem that I saw was the judiciary issues that you know, the legislature spent a lot of time during the interim, and we had several bills out. And all of a sudden, these nine legislators who supported a lot of these judiciary bills, they started voting against them, but the Democrats just started killing them. And that was just like, you guys are voting against stuff that you would have never voted for, but I guess you made your agreement with the Democrats, and that's what we ended up with. And that will strain their relationship going forward with other Republicans and even some Democrats.
Senator Greg Hertz with us. Senator, you might have moved into that spot in your house where you don't get as great coverage. We kind of lost a little bit of that last statement there. Let's see you. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah. So can you hear me?
I don't know. All of a sudden, you're cutting in and out. Unfortunately. We'll give it a try here, and it's kind of it's odd too, because this is an important thing, I think, to talk about going forward and repairing some of those relationships. How, you know, the impact that has on the general public, and I witnessed some of that too. I witnessed quite a bit of those bills that. Well, I remember one time, Finance Committee Chair Carl Glimm holding up the balance sheet and saying, has anybody looked at this lately? Because we are way in the red. There was a surplus going in. There was a lot of spending in that regard, and some of that is being cut back. Talk about priorities. Do you feel as that spending came forward, some of those bills came forward in the discussion, are we differing even more so on our spending priorities, or do we still have kind of the same spending priorities when it comes to government, Republicans and Democrats?
Well, I don't know. It seems like the last legislative session here and the governor's office, they were fine with growing our budget larger than it should be. Mm-hmm. And short term, that might solve some issues that they really wanted to focus on. But long term, we can run into some big problems long term, and that's where we're headed right now, is the out of balance structure going forward. Just like, you know, the federal government's very similar in their $38 trillion, they just can't get things under control. Unfortunately, in Montana, we just can't print money. But unless we refocus a little bit and slow down the growth of government in Montana, we're going to have some issues going forward. And then if the federal government starts cutting funding at the federal level too, remember about 43% of our entire revenue for our, I think we have a $16 billion budget for a biennium now, 43% of that comes from the federal government. And that starts getting reduced, it will impact Montana significantly. So we got to really focus on some of these issues that we share with the federal government and make sure we don't overbloat them going forward.
I got about 30 seconds here. What's your take on that income tax cut that was signed?
So I think the income tax cut was a good process going forward. I would like to see us get to a flat tax. I tried to, and so was the governor, but we just couldn't get there this session. Unfortunately, we didn't have the votes to get it done from Republicans primarily. But I think that's more of a fairer tax going forward. Everybody knows, you know, I'd like to get to a 4.7 flat tax rate. This is how much you make, 4.7 of it you pay to the state of Montana. So we don't get into class warfare. And that's what a lot of people do and like to do, particularly Democrats. They like to get into class warfare, just like where we're at with the property tax system now.
Shooting the session breeze with State Senator Greg Hertz. And a lot in this last session when Medicaid reauthorization, that was a big issue. Some of the property taxes, there was bills passed to address that as well. It was more relief than reform, but maybe it got the ball rolling in the right way. And we're just going to, like I say, just shooting the breeze to get the thoughts of State Senator Greg Hertz, who started serving in the House in 2013. Four sessions later, is the Speaker of the House. Into Republican leadership and very much a leader in the Senate as well. And Senator Hertz, again, you know, thanks for being here. I appreciate that. And I like how you had noted how, you know, it's about relationships. And you yourself, through that long term, have created some really solid relationships. We kind of left off with property taxes. We chatted with you and Representative Lou Jones after you guys both served on that tax committee. Do you feel the process in terms of discussing all those options was fair, was played out? Because I know you're a defender of the process, in my mind, of the body itself. Or do you think some of those things were baked in and were a bit unmovable?
Well, when it came to the session, I think some of them were baked in and unmovable. I was on the property tax task force, and we looked at this homestead relief, which is mainly what we ended up with. And at that point in time, the city of Billings with their charter never came in and talked about it. Mm-hmm. And we missed some other things like fixed mill levies, voter approved levies that are all going to get impacted here. And when we got to the session, we finally realized, this is something that we missed and we need to make some changes here. But unfortunately, I don't think Representative Jones is willing to make any changes. Mm-hmm. And so that's when things at the end, that's why it took us until the last day of the session practically to get things done. And in my mind, we did some unconstitutional and some illegal changes to a couple of these bills. And that may come back to haunt us. These bills may get litigated and they may get thrown out. And that'll throw us into even more chaos with property taxes. And we may have to have a special session, but we'll just have to wait and see. Or we'll really have to deal with it in 2027 again. You have not heard the last of property taxes because these shifts that we made, there's going to be a lot of people who are upset about their property taxes going up 50, 60, maybe 100%, especially on second homeowners.
Yeah, and I know that the job was to try and get more out of Montana's tourism industry in terms of the impact that all those visitors, 12 million a year, have on state services. But I'm not sure this reached that in that regard because I think, what is it, some 20%? I'm not probably going to couch this correctly. Yeah. But that still leaves 75% of Montanans who have second homes having to pay more on their second home. So I don't think they quite hit that tourism resource as much as they could.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only way you can hit tourism is basically a statewide general sales tax. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can do it. And mm-hmm. of course, Montanans haven't wanted to do that. But there were some other property tax reforms that came out of the task force, which I was really disappointed that we did not pass. And a couple of them were my bills. Number one, vote on levies every 10 years.
Yes.
So the voters have to go back in their districts. Let's vote on them every 10 years. Your minds change. Or if you don't have more than a 50% turnout to pass a levy, you need 60% of the voters approving of that levy. So those are a couple things I think would have really made a difference. And those are true reforms where right now we've just kind of done the shift of property taxes. So,
yeah. Are you going to be able to raise that bar again? Because I know those counties and those cities, they push back on that. Hey, that's our responsibility, so to speak. But a lot of those things were, well, like I said earlier, common sense. There seemed to be some common sense solutions in this that got brushed over. Is that a matter of just having to kind of keep hitting this issue? And I know the sales tax, we've talked about it here too. It's just used as a weapon nowadays. It might be a viable tool if we could create a rebate program that actually worked for full-time Montanans. I know that I think it can be done. But are we going to be able to maybe raise the bar and get to some of these more logical outcomes, hopefully?
Well, I think we can. It'll just take some time, like a lot of legislation does. But, I mean, a lot of the bills were killed by what I have referred to as taxpayer-funded lobbyists. I mean, I don't think a lot of the citizens realize how much of their tax dollars go to hire lobbyists for the schools, the counties, and the cities. And they come to the Helena, and they oppose many things the taxpayers approve. So I've tried carrying that bill to eliminate that. And boy, I got beat up on that. But I really think if that was on the ballot as a voter initiative, do you want your taxpayer fund the dollars to hire lobbyists? I think probably 70, 80% of the voters say no. It's not a good idea. And, that's why I would like to see county commissioners, city council members, school board members showing up And, you know, they can zoom in now. And when I had those bills at the session, boy, we had a lot of those members show up and all of a sudden tell us why they didn't like the bill. And it's like, well, maybe you need to show up when we have other bills. You know, and I know your time is limited, but everybody's time is limited. So, and you can zoom in now so that you don't have to travel all the way to Helena.
Yeah, things are different. I mean, when you first started 2013, you know, there was social media, but it was basically to say hi. Now you can, everybody has a platform. I this is maybe tongue in cheek, but everybody feels like their platform is higher than those around them, I guess. How have things changed? And you know, what's the pro and con of that?
Well, you know, social media, I think, has been detrimental to society in general. And you get in these little echo chambers and you say things on there that you wouldn't really say to somebody in person. In fact, before the session started, I made up my mind. I got out of my Facebook and my Twitter page. I'm like, I'm not going to go in there. I'm going to ignore it.
It
really helped.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I just was like, I'm not looking at it. It's an echo chamber and it consumes a lot of my time. I was consuming two hours a day, probably looking at that stuff. Yeah. And it freed me up a lot of time. And, you know, and I was able to see things, I think, a little more clearly. And I always try to tell other legislators, hey, you guys need to focus on really, you know, what the majority of people in Montana feel like. And that's not on Facebook. That's not the majority of people in Montana. A lot of them aren't engaged in there. You need to talk to your constituents. Use some common sense. And unfortunately, we've got into this big echo chamber, whether it's on the state level or the federal level. It's worse at the federal level. And it's really breaking down relationships between legislators and the public.
Yeah. And I think we're learning. I mean, a lot more people are doing as you did, just putting that aside and having the discipline for that. And it takes discipline. State Senator Greg Hertz is with us, Senate District 7 in the Polson area. Again, a longtime legislator, business owner as well. I certainly appreciate, you know, all your experiences. I mean, when you look at all those committees you have served on, education, taxation over the years as well, you just have a lot of that, and that's helpful. I want to talk about the judicial bills that most of them failed there as well in just a bit. Before the break, though, I want you to pick something that maybe went underneath the radar. Maybe you talked about it, that flat tax thing, but what do you feel in this session, Senator, went under the radar, a pretty critical issue that went under the radar?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues is recreational marijuana and the THC potency. I had some bills to lower that potency. And, you know, one thing, this isn't Woodstock weed, people, which was like 3 or 4% THC. This stuff is now pushing 30% of the stuff you smoke and 100% on edibles. And that is causing some major health problems and is going to really haunt us going forward. And if we don't get control of that, it's going to be create another problem. Just like Oxy, you know, people got addicted to it. And that's what's going on. I compare it to like a can of beer is about 5% alcohol content. Can you imagine if that can of beer all of a sudden became 30% in a couple of years?
Yeah.
And people were still drinking 4 or 5 beers a night, what that would do? We'd have a lot more alcoholics and we have a lot of problems. But that's what's gone on with marijuana. The high potency of this stuff is off the charts and it's creating a lot of healthcare issues with young adults, teenagers, older adults, and we need to really get a handle on this across the country.
Who's on board? Who's not on board?
Well, I think I have had Democrats on board with this and Republicans, but it's people are like, this is a freedom issue. It's just like alcohol. You can buy a beer or you can get Everclear. Well, you can, but people think marijuana is a natural substance and it's okay to use. And it's not. It's been genetically modified to where it has 25-30% THC. That's not what it originally was. It was 1 and 2 and 3%. And so it's getting modified and it's going to create problems. The healthcare industry has finally gotten on board now too. They're seeing problems in the emergency rooms. They're seeing problems with children going in and getting edible. Kids, you know, in the emergency room, and just the psychosis and stuff and the paranoia that's going on with young adults in relation to this high potency THC.
State Senator Greg Hertz, I appreciate that conversation, too, and there's more to be had on it as well. I mean, we're walking into it, but we shouldn't be walking into it, you know, with a bag over our head as well. State Senator Greg Hertz said earlier, a noxious weed trust bill, $10 million to handle the issue, vetoed. We're going to actually have Megan Hoyer talk about that issue from the state's perspective here and how to handle noxious weeds. That's on the program tomorrow. And back to this here today. Thank you guys again for joining us. And State Senator Greg Hertz, really appreciate your time here as well. Got about 4.5, 5 minutes. Just want to open it up. I know we have judicial reform. Maybe quickly talk about that. I also see, you know, that you've had a lot of experience on the Education Committee as well. And I want to get maybe your sense on that in this last session.
Sure. You know, we've got the big study coming up on education, which is important. But one thing I found interesting, I've been reading lately, is, you know, a lot of schools in Montana have gone to 4-day weeks. And the person who really pushed for that years ago, he's now opposed to it. Our math scores and reading scores are going down, and there's a direct relationship. They're finding that kids are in school less. I know the teachers, in it, you know, they love it. I mean, employees, yeah, I only got to work 4 days a week, but it's really impacting our schools. And I think we're going to probably be revisiting that in the 2027 session. It's happening across the country, too. They're realizing that wasn't probably the best idea for the children. And that's what we really need to focus on.
Yeah, yep, that's a good one. And I see that coming back around. And like you say, the data backs that up. It's really tough to get some judicial reform. I thought that there was some kind of low-hanging fruit, maybe some easy asks out there. And the same thing with election reform. They're tough to get across the line, even though in my mind, some of them make pretty clear common sense.
They really do. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that our court system is nonpartisan. Well, it's really not. I mean, even you look at the press, they talk about the conservative judges and the liberal judges, and it's like, these aren't nonpartisan judges. You know, we all know, that's the number one call I get when people say, hey, Greg, who should I vote for? Which one of these judges? Because it's really hard to figure out what a judge is like unless you dig down and see who the contributions are coming from. We just wanted to kind of open that up. Partisan judges, you know, to me was a top priority of the governor and everybody else, and that failed. And it's unfortunate. So people, you know, going forward, that's one thing. We had some other reforms that didn't make it. We were looking at another appellate court between district court and Supreme Court. Most states do that. We did not get that completely accomplished. That would be very helpful. And there were a lot of other good judicial reforms that they just failed. I think we had 25 of them, and maybe only 4 or 5 of those bills passed. And a lot of it had to do with this coalition in the Senate between these 9 Republicans and the Democrats. They came to an agreement, okay, we're going to kill these bills, even though a lot of them, several of them, were on the task force and they supported them going forward. But that was part of the deal they made. And, you know, that's what happens in the legislature, happens all the time. But it was unfortunate. I think we have a good chance to do some judicial reform.
We'd love to give you more time for this. Sir, it comes at a cost. Why do you serve?
Well, I just, you know, Montana's given so much to me, and I just felt it's an obligation to me and anybody else to give back to your community. And it's been tough. It's been tough on my family. It's been tough on my business. I mean, there's been many times when people, you know, especially on social media, they say, hey, you need to boycott Senator Hertz's businesses because he's supporting this or supporting that. And there's so much misinformation out there. Yeah. And this THC issue, they had my name plastered all over these dispensaries across the state. And I've got some really, you know, threatening calls from these people. You know, why are you doing this? And they don't understand the issue. And that's the problem. It's just little snippets of information out there that really misleads people about a particular issue. And when you can sit down and talk to them about it, they understand, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, why are people saying this? And that's why a lot of people don't run for political office. It's just the backlash, either on their professional life, business life, and the impact on their families in day in and day out.
Well, I am one, sir, who is glad that you do. I think you do a good job. I appreciate you, sir.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. State Senator Greg Hertz, we'll be chatting again, okay?
All right, yeah, and it's an honor to talk to you, and it's an honor to represent the people of Montana and the people of my district.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.